It's virtual reality, but by Liz Niven. The teacher looked at Andy McNeil. He was half sleeping. His een were half shut, and his shudders hung over his desk like big sacks of coal. Andrew McNeil, waking up, she shouted. The rest of the class jumped a mile, and even Andy opened his een wide enough to see what all the stushy was about. The whole class was looking at him. He felt his face gone red with embarrassment. What's gone on? He whispered to his neighbour Scott. What's she girning about now? I heard that, Andrew McNeil, and I've every right to girn, as you put it. You were asked to do a piece of homework for the day. How you done it? Andrew felt his insides turn to a kind of melted jelly. He'd clean forgot. It was on problem with the computer that had fair thrown him. Well, Mrs. O'Donnell repeated, we're all waiting. What's your story? Your oral story? Do we hae the privilege of hearing it? Or did you fall asleep all night and all? No, miss, I've done it, of course, he added, sure that his voice sounded fair, honest to goodness. He caught sight of Scott beside him, grinning from lug to lug. You havenae done it, have you? He whispered. Andrew cleared his thrapple and kent that the whole class were waiting. They'd just be glad to see somebody else suffer. An oral story indeed. It sounded like a toothpaste advert. Can I stay in my seat to tell it, miss? He asked, stalling for time and pulling his chair in tightly to his desk. Aye, you can. Mind I tell you all yesterday that I wanted this story to be a wee bitty different for your written stories. Telling a story orally, she emphasised the words again, means that you use different techniques. Get your audience interested in what you're saying. Draw them in. Get a bit of atmosphere going. Make them forget where they are. Right, Andrew, off you go. And at that, she sat ahint the teacher's desk and folded her arms. Her desk was piled high with jotters and books, and Andy stared in a panic, searching for inspiration. The big book caught his ear, and he felt as if somebody had slipped a wee computer disk into his head. Program on, he thought. Late last night, about 12:30, I was in my bedroom, playing with my computer. I could hear my mammy shouting through the hall. I hope you're in your bed, my boy. I don't want a sound out of you till the morning. See, I had to keep the sound down. But this time, everybody else was in their beds, and I kent I'd get laldy if she thought I was still up. I'd just lifted the mousse to start playing you know my games, when the next minute there was a kind of wee squeak, and it fell apart in my horns. Damn it, I says. Oh, sorry, Mrs. O'Donnell. Where am I going to get a mousse at this time of the night? Oh, well, my God. Oh, sorry, Mrs. O'Donnell. The next thing I kent was this almighty crash, and my bedroom door just landed in the flare in front of me. And there's this big grey mousse dawning in the doorway saying, here you are, no problem. I was just passing and heard you mention you needed a mousse. Well, I do. I'll just come in, will I? Sorry about the door, these things happen. In fact, I could tell you a thing or two about breakages. That's nothing compared to my problems. Wait a minute, I shouted, louping out of my chair. You can't just walk in here like that, and you are nae a mousse. No, the kind I'm looking for. Suddenly, without any warning, this muckle grey mousse just collapsed into my chair and started greeting. It sobbed and sobbed, and I could feel myself getting a bit tearful and all. I went out and put my arms round his shoulders. The fur felt surprisingly soft through my fingers. Keep the sound down. Mamma'll kill me. And you, if she hears this. What's up? Why are you greeting? Between sobs, with his big furry shoulders heaving up and down, the moose explained that he'd been out for a walk in the field near his home. Footing about, whistling away, picking wee flowers for a vase in his house, when crunch, this muckle great plough for a farmer just flattened his house and yin fell swoop. Just like that, I'm hameless now, nae hame, as sure as neeps or turnips, nae hame. And his shoulders shook and shook. By this time, I'd taken out a couple of Kleenex from my drawer, and I was trying to dye his face with it. It was a rich sin. Then suddenly, I thought of something. There wasn't anybody in your house at the time, was there? It's funny you should say that, he replied, because there wasn't, but there nearly was, for my wains had just gone after a Maori's party in the next field. A close shave richt enough, eh? Aye, I says, you're richt, it could have been worse, I suppose. Suddenly, out of the night came a wee voice that said, could have been worse, a close shave. Aye, you're richt, that's what I was just thinking. And into my bedroom, stamping on my bedroom door in the flare, in fact, came a wee boy. He was dressed in funny kind of clothes and carried a stick in his hand, a bit like the shepherd's crook that you used to see in old pictures. Hello, says the moose. What's up with you? I was out all night, the lee lang night, in fact, watching my sheep, when an unco tight lapped out of the dyke, replied the wee boy. His face was pure white, and he'd big black circles under his een. What's an unco tight? I asked. A dug, said the wee boy impatiently. A strange dug. Do they no teach you anything at the school? And when did the dug do? Asked the moose and me at the same time. It went straight for my wee favourite lamb, that's what it did. I was fair fear. In the background, hoolets were crying and I could hear a tod over the hill. I just legged it, left my wee hoggy and made a run for it, and here am I. And he looked around with outstretched horns and added, and a nice wee place you hae here, if you don't mind me saying that is. Except for that door, you're needing that fixed. At that, I minded what had happened and how the moose had crashed into my room, followed by a strange wee boy that looked like a refugee out of a BBC serial. The three of us were all staring at this door with different expressions on our faces, when suddenly, framed in the empty doorway, padded a wee lamb, white and cuddly, and making kind of squeaky noises. It padded into my room, its hooves getting caught in the nylon pile of the carpet. I just watched them fin it. The wee boy spoke first. Hoggy, my wee hoggy, you fin me. I thought the tyke had maybe got you. Now you're all right, son, I made a run for it, replied the lamb, settling down on the carpet beside the boy. How are you doing? He added, looking at the big grey moose. But this time my bedroom was getting quite crowded. There was a lamb curled up in the flare, squeezing in as near to its maester as it could get. Next to them was an enormous grey moose, and there was me in the middle of it. It was pure dead amazing, so it was, but I didn't think my ma would be awfully pleased if she'd come in. As well as that, I took a right hairy when the wee lamb stood up and says, a wee, I need a wee. Suddenly, Mrs. O'Donnell interrupted. That'll be enough, Andrew. You've covered the right number of minutes. You can stop now. At this, shouts and screeches went up for the class. Oh, miss, let him finish. Aye, Mrs. Gidd, isn't it? Hey, Andy, what did the lamb do? Mrs. O'Donnell opened her mouth, but nobody could hear what she was saying, for the class were making that much of a racket, asking about the dugs, the lamb and the wee boy. But Andy felt like magic. He never had such attention for that money folk in his life. He was quite warm into his story, keen to find out what happened next himself. Oh, all right, Andrew, carry on, but dinna make a meal of it. A meal, thought Andy, right. He cleared his throat and stared it again. Well, there was me, the wee boy, his lamb and a big fat moose, all sitting in my bedroom. And this wee lamb says he wants a wee bite to eat. As soon a disappointment came for the class. They'd hoped the wee was something else, nae doot. Andy went on. Out of the corner of my een, I kent something had appeared at my bedroom door, or what was left of it. There was something big and dark and shadowy, filling the door frame, and it rolled across, all tapsled, teary and heelster gowdy, and ended up stopped in front of me, with its twine staring into mine. Its een were like amber beads and all. But suddenly it boomed in a huge voice. Fair for your honest sonsy face, it shouted at the top of its voice. The moose took a fit of the giggles at this point. Keep the sound down, please, if you don't mind, I said. I kent my ma would gang gite if she looked into my room. I also felt this latest visitor had a bit of a cheek, shouting and bawling so loudly. It was almost as if he was... Aye, he was drunk. Are you drunk? I asked him, noticing that his beady wee orangeen were kind of watery and no focusing right. As a matter of fact, I'm legless. In fact, literally legless. Nae legs, never had any. And at that he burped loudly and fell over onto the carpet, narrowly missing the wee lamb who was fair dumbfoundered at this latest visitor. You can't fall asleep in here, I shouted, waking up. All we could hear were loud snores from the broon crater. He was out for the count. Who began to waken him? I said. I've got an idea, said the wee boy, who'd been watching the whole shebang with great interest. As he came over to where the broon blob was lying, stood up as tall as he could aside him, and in as loud a voice as he could muster, he shouted, his knife see a rustic labour dight, and cut you up with a ready slight. At that, the broon blob's een opened, and he let out the loudest screech you've ever heard. Help! Help! He shouted, trying to get upright, but with no legs it was very difficult. He gave a wee kind of roll, and the next minute he was on his feet, heading for the door. I'm off. Here was me looking for a safe place to hide, and you're just as bad here as the rest of them. All they ever want to do is cut me into pieces and shove me on a plate with neeps and tatties. How would you like to be washed down with a glass of whisky every January? You've no idea what it's like. And at that, he burst into lewd tears, which rolled down his face in a kind of pale gowd colour. "We can't shove him out like that," said the wee shepherd. And putting out his crook, he catched the haggis round the tap of his head and brought him birling back onto the carpet with a thud. Yens Mair, the brown blob, rolled about at their feet. At this point, I was beginning to realise how crazy the hale thing was, and further, how was I going to get rid of them? By now, they were all settling down in a corner of the room, chatting and commiserating with each other. The big grey moose had his arm round the haggis, and his lang tail was neatly curled up at the lamb's feet. The wee shepherd boy was stroking away at the lamb's curls and saying, "Never you mind, we're all safe now." The moose gave a wee squeak and says, "What's for you'll no gan by ye. I'll soon get a new hoose." "A freenin' need is a freenin' deed," slurred the haggis, shaking the moose's paw with vir. "A bird in the hand is worth twa in the bush," piped up the sheep. The shepherd's lad started to say, "Dinna cast a clout till when I cut in wi' aye, and the best laid schemes o' mice and men." And they all joined in wi' "Gang aft agoy." And then they stared at me wi' worried faces. "You'll hate again," I shouted, forgetting about my ma. "Ye canna stay here." "How no?" shouted the haggis. "You've plenty of room," and he burped loudly. "Oh, go on, just till we get ourselves sorted out." "We could do jobs for ye," cried the rest. And they all started scratching their heads, trying to figure out what they could do to keep in my guide books and no be thrown out. "You haven't maybe got a wee bit of homework for the skill tomorrow?" "Aye," they all started clamouring at this idea. "We could do your homework for you. That would be a great help, would it no?" I thought about this for at least half a second and said, "Aye, right, you're on. If you do my homework, I'll let you stay." At this news, loud cheers went up, and I had to tell them again to keep it quiet. It wouldn't have mean a thing to Ma that I was getting my homework done. The opposite, in fact. She'd definitely fling them all out. Cheating, that would be called. Now, if it was her housework that was getting done, that would be a different fettle kish. "Okay," says the moose in a businesslike fashion, "what's your homework?" "Well," I said, "I have to finish my sums for the morrow." "Sums? Nah, we wouldn't be any use at the sums. It's all changed since we were at the skill," said the moose, rubbing his nose. "And I was never very good at the counting." "Geography," I said. "I have to finish putting in the place names in a map." "Geography? A map?" they all shouted. "What is a map, oh?" "It's a world map," I answered. "Places all over the world." "Oh, no, then, we couldn't do that," said the moose. "It has to be Scotland. We didn't ken anywhere else." "And I specialise in field maps," said the moose, "especially Ayrshire and Dumfries fields." "Oh, this is hopeless," I said. "You promised to help me." "What about your English homework? Have you no got any stories to write or something?" asked the lamb. "I'm awfully good on that kind of thing. In fact, my cousin with the fleece as white as snot is brilliant and stuff like that. He used to go into school with a lassie," cried Marian. Oh, I just interrupted at that point, for I was beginning to realise that this crowd were time wasters. They weren't the least bit helpful, and it was time they did something. "I'll tell you then, I have got English homework. I have to tell a story in class tomorrow. Could you do that for me?" At that, they all started clamouring and speaking at the end time, making a rick racket again. "Okay, okay. Now, I'm going off to my bed, and I'll leave you lot to do my story, all right?" And at that, I slumped into my bed and pulled the covers right over my head. I could hear them whispering for ages, till eventually I must have fell asleep, for the next thing I kent, my ma was shuggling my covers and saying it was time to get up. A bell was ringing and all. My alarm clock gained it lulled by my bed. "Andrew, stop, that's the bell for French," Mrs. O'Donnell was shouting. "You're on your half asleep. I'm afeard we've nae mair time for Andrew's story. You'll just hae to finish it yourselves. In fact, I'm giving you that for your homework. Make up an ending for Andrew's story. You've certainly got a remarkable start." Folk in the class weren't pleased at all. They were all muttering and girning. "What a cop-out," said Scott, sitting beside Andrew. "Nae ending. Mak your ain up. What kind of storytelling's that?" "The best kind," said Andrew, with a muckle grin in his face. The boys heeded for the classroom door to gang to the French class. "I'm going to the shops after the skill for a new moose. Do you want to come with me?" asked Andrew. Afore Scott could answer, Mrs. O'Donnell shouted, "Andrew, a word." Andrew's head jerked round to see Mrs. O'Donnell lifting the big collected burns from her desk. She looked at him with a wee smile on her face and said, "You'll no have any homework, will you, Andrew, seeing as how you tell your story already today." "Aye, I suppose so, Mrs. O'Donnell," said Andrew, kind of fidgeting with his hands in his pockets. "And do you like the poems of Abbey Burns?" she asked. "Better nor the computer of yours?" "Oh, aye, they're great, miss, just great." He kept that if he was Pinocchio, he'd hae a neb the length of Nessie's neck for the lees he was telling. "Well, to save you repeating the same homework, you can come in the morrow and be able to recite to me 3 poems for this book. And you'll no need me to tell you which ones, will you, Andrew?" And she handed him the big book with Rabbi's face kicking into it. "No, Mrs. O'Donnell," said Andrew, taking the book and heading for the door. He could see Scott's face grinning at him from the corridor. "Nay, luck, eh? Still going to the shops for a moose?"